I've been having a lot of fun in the last month, I would say. The number of people who've called and asked me about, what do you think about Zappos and what they're doing with work design? And then, of course, there are the Amazon stories, which is describing what might be the future of work. Everyone wanted to know what I thought from a responsible perspective. And I said, well, that's the right question, because it's not that there is any filter that I can see that they're using, except some experiences. And in fact, most of the filter they're using is, let's do something less harmful and more productive than the typical traditional work systems. So I decided that I would write a series of blogs about this, given that I've designed work systems for four decades. I've designed work systems without supervisors. I have taken existing work systems with supervisors and transformed the relationship they have. I'll tell you more about that. With no one being laid off and a complete non-hierarchical process of decision making. So I did my first blog on this subject about 3 weeks ago, and did it as a regular written blog. I thought I would do the next five based on you being able to see me and to see some graphics, because I need those to be able to explain. What I want to start with today in this first blog is a foundation from which to assess yourself what you think about work systems that are being designed, because it's a very hot topic, obviously for a very good reason. So I have some beliefs that about responsibility that when you apply them to either Zappos or Amazon, you'd find that they are not living up to what responsible principles should be. I gave you some of those guidelines in the last blog, but this one I thought I would give you some of the belief systems that I have behind them. The first one is that life exists nested. Now, what I mean by that is nothing is on a plane one next to the other, although we often think of it that way. So we think of, we humans exist in an environment, so it's like it's on the same plane. But really what's true is that we humans exist in an ecosystem. We exist in nested systems that involve an impact that we have because of the nested relationship of systems. So for example, what I mean by nested is you find a tree and that tree makes sure the squirrels can eat because they eat the new growth tips. Those squirrels make sure that the soil gets fertilized and that the mushrooms which are growing there get what they need to grow and in that process break down and feed the root system which goes back into the tree. Humans, in the choice that they're making all the way along, are affecting whether or not that cycle, that system that is at work, can be effective. But in order for humans to do their work, they need a particular kind of ableness, because everything in that system has a role. Everything has a purpose. It has work to do. The nested nature means that humans, if they don't have the ableness to play that role, then everything breaks down. Now, what is humans' role then? I am advocating to have one, aren't I? Humans' role is related to the power of consciousness to make choice about systemic effects. So let me talk about what I mean about two sides of that. Systemic effects are when you do one thing, it does not affect just the one direct thing, which we learned from Newton. It's not just a one-to-one relationship. It affects like the squirrel and the tree in a more systemic way. But we don't look at that unless we actively choose to. So the role humans have is to help bring that consciousness to bear. Now, there's a great book if you want to know more about the nested relationship of humans with forest by Kat Anderson, who wrote a book called Tending the Wild. And what she discovered is more than 80% of the forest, which are on the West Coast and particularly in the Northwest, were tended by, grown, moved in, by the native peoples who live there. We always think of the forest grew themselves, but it turns out that's not true. So the ability of humans to actually be able to see their effect and the related effects of all those things in that forest is the role that humans bring. Let me give you another angle on that. There's a man named Alfred Korzybski. He is the founder of General Semantics, but he also did some other very interesting things. One of the things he pointed out is that the system that has plants, animals, and humans, of course, humans being an animal, plants can't get up and move. The gorillas and the great apes can move, as can all animals, but they don't seem to be able to build on their past experience. So the learning is centuries and centuries old, only by the entire community. The exciting things about humans is we can build on one of those learning. Now, we don't often. Sometimes we just ignore what others have figured out and we decide to do it on our own. But we have that capacity if it is developed and used. So that's the first thing that I think is really important to understand when we think about work systems, is we have to have a capacity to be able to see how work really happens in a living system. So for example, work systems are a part of a strategic direction and a culture that a community decides to carry forward and an impact that it has on Earth and communities. Most work systems are not looked at as a systemic effect, therefore, they're not engaging responsibility. Now, I'm going to give you more of that as we go forward. But I want to just do a really quick foundation that you can use. You don't have to call me. I'm happy for you to call me and send me emails and ask me what I think about every work system that comes along. But one of the first things you should be looking for is, are they thinking about first, second, and third line work? Now, those of you who know me know I talk about that a lot. The first line is the growth of the individual. And I mean as a unique individual, not as an individual like all people should grow. Does the essence and uniqueness of that being grow? Secondly, does the business grow and all of the teams and actors that are within it? And third, does it create an effect that is evolutionary for all of the things that it touches? So if you can't see that laid out and see that all three of those are there, then you know that they're not including all the responsible nested ideas. One other thing that you can look for is there are some distinctive characteristics, which I mentioned last time, that you have to ask, is this considered in the work design? And in the coming four or five, maybe even video blogs I'm going to do, I'm going to give you examples of how to do it in a way that this can happen, not just say, don't do the things you're being told. So the first one is, does it foster internal locus of control? Does it foster every individual human being feeling in control of their own life, their own choices, and their ability to contribute? Most work systems work to make people feel at the control of others, and you cannot live the full potential of a human being if you can't build that capacity, and work systems should do that. Secondly, do they build external considering into the system, which means, do they help everyone who's working there be aware of their impact in these larger rings, including the third ring where customers live? Now, we're used to giving people information inside of a system about what customers want, but I'm talking about external considering. True caring doesn't come unless they're directly connected to a customer. And I'm going to give you some ways to do that. That I call those two things getting linked is the kind of the connector or the rod in between those is personal agency. So that agency comes about when I feel in control, I see something that I can make a real difference in, and it awakens that personal agency in me. So if those three things aren't present, they're not yet working on a responsible work design and management system. So come back and I'll give you some more of how to do those and how you can assess Zappos, Amazon, and all other work designs.